We're going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23 and reading through the close of the chapter through verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's begin reading in verse 23. We're going to be talking about how the Corinthians were partaking of the Lord's Supper, and of course, they were doing that in a wrong way. And as we look at how the Corinthians were abusing the Lord's Supper, we're going to learn more about how we ought to partake of this very important observance. So let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. After Paul goes back to that night before Jesus was crucified, in which he instituted the Lord's Supper, and Paul talks about that in verses 24 and 25 and tells us that we're to observe the Lord's Supper by eating of this unleavened bread, which represents the Lord's body, and drinking of the fruit of the vine called the cup, which represents his blood, he then tells us about how we're to do this and why we're to do this. In verse 26, after he's already said to do this in remembrance of me, he said, As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death. Now, first of all, he says, as often as you do this. Sometimes people look at that and say, well, you can do it as often as you want to, that we just choose or decide for ourselves how frequently we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And yet the Bible shows in Acts 20, verse 7, that the very reason, the very purpose of the coming together on the first day of the week was to break bread. Acts 20, verse 7 says, And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. So the Lord's Supper is to be partaken of on the first day of the week. If we are to meet, that is, assemble as a congregation on the first day of the week to worship, then we're to have the Lord's Supper because the Lord's Supper is the stated reason or purpose of that assembly to begin with. So the Bible tells us then in verse 26, that when you eat the Lord's Supper, you show the Lord's death. You proclaim, as it were, the Lord's death. The Lord's Supper is not given for just any reason. We're not to observe the Lord's Supper to commemorate just any item of history in the Bible. We're to celebrate, that is, to memorialize the death of Jesus Christ. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that is to be on our minds. We're not to be thinking about everything else or anything else. We're to be thinking about and we're to be contemplating the Lord's death. Something else that you find in verse 26 is that the Lord's Supper is a permanent observance. It is not something that was just to be observed in the first century. It is to be observed till the Lord comes. Because he says, as often as you do this, you show the Lord's death till he come. So we find that the Lord's Supper is not some incidental or temporary celebration that was given by Jesus Christ. He intended for it to be a permanent observance in his church. In verses 27 through 29, Paul talks about the manner in which we partake of the Lord's Supper. Now remember that the problem at Corinth was that they were turning the Lord's Supper into a common meal. They were bringing other food in, and they were abusing the Lord's Supper in that way. They weren't just partaking of the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. They were turning it into an everyday meal. And the problem at Corinth is that there were rich people and poor people. And so the wealthy people would bring in more than enough food, and they would be eating their food and calling it the Lord's Supper. And the poor people didn't have enough, and they were hungry. And Paul said that this is a shame and a reproach to your congregation. Now, that's what he's talking about specifically here in the context when he says in verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." They were eating the Lord's Supper with this other food that they were bringing in, their own supper, and they weren't any more thinking about the Lord's death than they would be if they sat down to eat a common meal. It really didn't mean anything to them. And Paul says that when you do that, when you eat that unleavened bread in the Lord's Supper and you drink that cup of the Lord's Supper and you don't even have in mind Jesus' death, he says you're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So the word unworthily here refers to the way in which they were doing it, the manner in which they partook of the Lord's Supper. The word unworthily means in an unworthy manner or in an unworthy way. Now again, in verse 29, he says, "For he that eats and drinks unworthily," that is an unworthy way like these Corinthians were. And of course, that's not the only way that a person can partake of the Lord's Supper in the wrong manner. That's one way. But if people go into the worship service today and they just hurry through the Lord's Supper, and they're thinking about everything else, and they partake of the Lord's Supper in a lighthearted way. I've even heard stories about some who seem to be enjoying and joking around as they partook of the Lord's Supper. Well, that's blasphemous. That's irreverent. That's what Paul is talking about here. And he says, whoever does that, whoever takes of this special meal in a way that is unbecoming to the death of the Lord and to the memory of Jesus' death on the cross, verse 29 says that he eats and drinks damnation, that is condemnation to himself, because he is not discerning the Lord's body. That is, he's not thinking about the body of Jesus Christ as Jesus offered himself on the cross. So it's not just eating the food of the Lord's Supper, it is eating it with the proper frame of mind. And so this is like baptism in that sense. It's one thing to be immersed in water. You can be immersed in water for any number of reasons in this lifetime. But baptism is an immersion in water that comes from a certain kind of heart. It's preceded by faith and repentance and confession. That's why the Bible says that we're to obey from the heart that form of doctrine, which is baptism. Romans 6, verse 17. Now, the Lord's Supper is similar to that, in that the Lord's Supper is not just something that you can do as a formality. It's not just an external, physical, outward act. It has to be accompanied by the right mindset. It has to come from the heart. And that's what Paul is rebuking these people about here. So this is a passage about what people do during worship, and specifically, how they partake of the Lord's Supper while the Lord's Supper is being observed on the first day of the week. Now, the Bible does teach that when people live a sinful, ungodly life, and then they come before God to worship Him, that is playing the hypocrite. And God is disgusted with that. The Bible teaches that in many places. You read about that, and you see God condemning that very severely in passages like Isaiah 1, Amos 5, or Jeremiah 7. But this passage is not specifically talking about what a person might do before the services or after the worship services in his everyday life during the week. In other words, if he's living a sinful life during the week and then he comes into worship, in that sense, somebody might say, well, he is not worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. But that is not what this passage is about. This passage is about doing it in the wrong way while you're doing it. And so in verse 28, he reminds us, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now, in the context again, what he means by that is that you watch yourself, that you look at yourself, and you make sure that you're thinking about what you should be as you're partaking of the Lord's Supper. You make sure that you're reverent, that you're very respectful, and that you're doing this to commemorate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is a very individual matter. It's outward in a sense because in verse 26 he says that you're showing the Lord's death. In other words, you are representing or you are proclaiming something that happened long ago to the Lord. But at the same time, you're looking inwardly, you're examining yourself. Now, because these people at Corinth had this problem, because some of these people were abusing the Lord's Supper, he says in verse 30, for this cause, for that very reason, many, that is many among you, are weak and sickly, and many sleep. He goes on to say in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If it were left up to us to judge ourselves, that would not happen because we avoid looking at ourselves and judging ourselves and admitting where our flaws and our mistakes are. But Paul said, the Lord looks at us in a more open manner because in verse 32 he said, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. And the Bible talks about the chastening of the Lord many times in Hebrews 12. 5 through 11, the Bible shows that God does chasten his children. And he does that, according to verse 32, so that we should not be condemned with the world. So there's a connection here between verse 32 and verse 30. In verse 30, he talks about their condition, which is the result of this abuse of the worship service. And in verse 32, he talks about the chastening of the Lord. Now, in verses 33 and 34, then, Paul ends this section by saying that they were to wait for one another. They were to tarry one for another. When they assemble together, they're to wait for each other as they assemble on the first day of the week to eat, that is, to eat the Lord's Supper. And he warns in verse 34, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Whether he's rich or poor, whether he has plenty of food or not enough, let him, according to verse 34, eat at home because that's the usual place where you do that. Paul says, don't come into the worship service and use that time, which is to be set aside as a special time to worship God in special ways. Don't use that time to engage in an everyday activity like eating a common meal because if you do, he says, you will come together unto condemnation rather than edification. And then Paul ends this section by saying, and the rest will I set in order when I come. There were other matters that Paul needed to address. There were other problems that he needed to tend to. But he said, I will deal with those when I come. And so ends this great section on the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11.